The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com. The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com. The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you bundle your renters and auto insurance with Progressive, you could save money, but it doesn't cover any terrible memories living rent-free in your head.
You remember that time you were singing in the shower, and then you heard a knock on the wall, and then you realized that your bathroom shared a wall with your neighbor's bedroom, and all you could do was stand there silently, thinking about all the other things they may have heard in the 4 years you've lived there? Yeah, good times.
Sorry, we can't save you from that memory, but we could save you money bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and third-party insurers. Renters insurance and bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Everton avoid a cup shambles in the end. They win 2-1 at Huddersfield Town. 10 men as well after Moise Keane's red card. We just come off the stadium. Dave Downey and Mark Mosey joining me now. First of all, about them socks, Mose. Me and you, big fans. Bright orange, Dave, not so much, but I'm going to give you this opportunity to just wax lyrical about them.
I commend you lads on trying to do a serious footballing podcast on the back of that, because when they are available in the club shop is the only question that needs answering after tonight. But yeah, it was definitely an interesting one. I think if you asked me on 60 Minutes, I'd say that we look like a very bad Newcastle side, especially in that kit. A very interesting night, but yeah, hopefully one that we'll look back on in February and reflect as a stepping stone on our march to Wembley for the Carabao Cup.
Dave, thoughts on the socks first?
Yeah, don't care. I'm not a fan of orange footwear. So less said the better for me, really. But I think the kit itself, it was all black without the orange sash. Some people believe it's a red sash, and we'll take it to their grave that it's a red sash.
Salmon, I think, is the
salmon pink. We've got quite a synonymous history, haven't we, with the salmon pink kits and stuff like that. But that's a smart kit, yeah.
At least we've exercised Man City 5-0. Although, you know, because that's what they last wore, that kit, wasn't it? And we thought it was all going to, you know, that'll be that kit forever. But now it'll be remembered for the end of Moise Keane's Everton career, potentially. But
probably, yeah. I think...
Do you know, no, let's not do that. Let's not do that. Let's start off with the positives, because I think...
The socks.
go back to the positives. But they are in the hat, Dave. And, you know, I think in the ground, when they have that goal disallowed and there's momentum build and then Keane goes off, you feel like this is going to be one of those shambolic nights for Everton in this competition that we've had so many times down the years. But I mean, the lads who came on changed the game ultimately, didn't they? You know, Luca Dean, I thought, was just really good, just doing the basics when he came on. Damari Gray gave us an outlet when we had 10 men, and Andre Gomes is obviously really important in the build up to that winning goal, and by hook or by crook they managed to get through, and that's ultimately a good thing.
Yeah, of course it's a good thing, but I think I'm worried more about the performance, Matt, and I'm not trying to cast any doom and gloom on this, but you have to say, if that's against the Premier League opposition, they would have been ripped apart. As far as I'm concerned, I thought there were some really poor spells of play. There was no redeeming feature about any sort of tempo we had. It was very lethargic. Obviously, the main concern we had about this side was a distinct lack of pace, and until Damari Gray comes on, that was my main concern with anything we tried to do going forward. It's a really nice goal that we scored as well. I think it's, you know, props to those lads. They're really good finishes. But there was too little of that tonight, really. You know, we should have dominated this game. I felt there was a lot of shooting ourselves in the fourths. We give the ball away quite a lot. When the crowd started getting behind them, because I thought they were crap for a good hour. Yeah. But when the crowd, particularly when they got the equaliser, there was a proper atmosphere about that game, which was nice. Because it was quite flat, wasn't it, being in the ground and stuff like that. It was hard to really get yourself involved and immersed in such a poor crowd that they sent out in terms of numbers. But I worry that this idea of Benitez is that it's going to be well regimented. Everything we do is going to be well structured, and there's going to be composure, and there's going to be, you know, all of these words associated with probably going to be decent defending. I felt there, if he's looking at that and the instructions he's probably, and I'm only, you know, assuming here, I look at a performance like that and think they don't look to have done much of what they've been told to do in that game. Yes, it's going to take time. We thoroughly appreciate that. But the midfield looked at sixes and sevens. I can't think of a time where you properly got, you know, five, six, seven, eight pass move where Everton have turned defence into attack and we've looked like we're going to really go full throttle and try and score. To me, that was few and far between. And yeah, I mean, look, the old cliche applies here. You've got to get yourself in the heart. That's fine. But I was hoping for a lot better against a substandard opponent tonight, with all due respect to them, because they didn't look interested in the game and we invited them to be interested in it. I think if Everton go 1-0 up earlier, if Everton go 2-0 up, kill the game off, I think you're looking at a comfortable evening where Everton have somewhere around 70% of the ball. The fact that they had to put so much into it, particularly with 10 men, which you would think, you're thankful that it's not going to take its toll being so early in the season. But I tell you what, they've had to work to get that victory tonight. And that, you know, there's a little bit of tribute to Huddersfield there as well. But for ourselves, there were a lot of things that I disliked more than I did like. And yeah, thankful it was this opponent before it's anybody else in this competition, because there were a lot of players who were quite dull. I mean, Michael Keane, I see you like a. I know we've been through this before with Keane. His form's fluctuated in the past. He got himself back to an even keel where you're pretty happy with him being one of our centre backs. I look at him now and I think he's regressed. This is a Michael Keane that we saw, I think it was 4 years ago, around just after we first got him, and we were all talking about
the injury and he was just sort of struggling.
Strapping a bit of steak to his foot or whatever it was to get through a game. And now we're in a position, I think, where I look at him, I don't want him on the ball. I don't want him to have the ball. I don't want him being given the ball by the goalkeeper, which is a big part of how we like to play out, particularly when Pickford's in goal. And I do fear when he gets the ball. And he's still doing this stupid scoop thing out to a fullback or a midfield position, a winger. And there's an issue there. You know, get Ben Godfrey back in there as soon as we possibly can.
I think from an individual point of view with Keane, If there's ever a situation where he should look comfortable, it's dropping down a level and putting an extra centre half alongside him.
Yeah, felt like he struggled with that level.
It did. I think the whole team struggled structurally with the change of formation. I totally understand why Benitez did it. I think the temptation when you come up against a side who notoriously play 3-5-2 is to match them up, because the fear of the wing backs. I think our wing backs were particularly poor. In particular, Jonjo Kenny. I think he was very quiet. From a centre half point of view, I think you absolutely expect someone with the experience of Keane, with someone like Branthwaite alongside him, to talk him through the game. But yourself look pretty secure. And I think, as you're right, Dave, every time he got on the ball, you've got all of those Everton feelings where we're going to give the ball away and concede the sloppy goal on the counter. Generally speaking, I'd probably look at our squad and think, I don't really think we've got any form of merit to warrant any more than what we've got tonight. And I think that's a sad reflection of where we are, 7 days out from the end of the transfer window. But if you ask any Evertonian what this team looks like when you take Alan Decore, Richarlison, Calvert-Lewin, and as much as he's on the fringes, someone like James Rodriguez out of this first 11, we are an absolute shell of a side. And that is ultimately... what Everton look like when they come to lower opposition. If you show me a notorious second round Carling Cup game away from home in a change of socks, that's exactly what it is tonight, because we were poor on the ball. We eventually scraped our way through it. Every single player to a man who started that game was poor. I think Matt's exactly right in terms of the players that we brought on. Luca Dean, ironically, on the back of Carlo Ancelotti leaving, looked like he'd been told to just play. Yeah. We needed someone to just come on and actually be a footballer, and he was that man tonight. Andre Gomes, in and out of the game when he came on, but ultimately was a decisive factor in winning the game. And Damari Gray is fast becoming the one that we all consistently stare at the bench longing for. The fact that we're doing that about £1.5 million winger, I mean, you can talk to me all you like about how much of a bargain it is and how much of a pleasure it is to have him here, and that is all absolutely right, but I didn't think I'd be seeing an Everton at this stage in the transfer window being at that level. And I think all that we can really take from tonight is the fact that the next 7 days is going to be very, very dramatic. And I think it primarily could be more for the negative than anything.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Ian, because I was going to profoundly disagree with you there, because I don't get that feeling with this squad and the way in which the structure is behind the scenes of the club right now, that the club are going to go hell for leather to try and plug some of these gaps that we've seen so far. And there's some pretty substantial gaps within that squad and the 11. And what I normally get at this time is an anticipation that if you start the season, you can look at it two ways. On the face of it, we've won two games, probably should have won three from three when you consider the Leeds performance, which was by and large very good. Defensively, there are issues there, as I've just explained there with Michael Keane. But when you look at coming towards the end of a window, I don't know about you guys, but I often get a feeling that we'll be okay in general. I get a feeling that when there's a gaping hole in the middle of this side and the squad, I normally get a feeling that Everton will be busy on deadline day. Everton will get someone in. And I don't want to bang on about the recruitment so far. Obviously, we've spent buttons in comparative terms. You know, you can throw the pandemic debate at me. All valid points, of course, but I wonder what state they're in behind the scenes when you're looking at a window that's going to end probably without us spending any more money. And if we don't spend any more money, performances like that tonight, I would imagine, would be much more frequent. I just reiterate, what opened my eyes quite widely and starkly this evening was how this disciplinarian we've been speaking about with Benitez, and that's going to be the thing that we sort of pin our cap on, is that he's getting these really organised, not that pretty on the eye. You know, we hear all this about Benitez. That, to me, a better side could have put a couple past us tonight. And yes, okay, look, you are limited by your opponent. I understand that. They drag you down sometimes, as much as a good opponent will get the best out of you. But you know, for Saturday, how long is the window? 8 days, seven days?
It's a week today, doesn't it?
A week today. If we're sat here next week and Everton aren't looking like bringing anybody in, I have to say I'm not that confident. And for as good as we've looked at times, Southampton turning it round, Leeds, really professional away performance where we should have won the game on the sway of the chances we had with Calvert-Lewin. I'm looking. Did I not say it to you? I say this jokingly, and please take this as a joke, people who are listening to this. I turned to Mosey in the middle of the game, was like, "Just get me to 40 points." I'm not talking in those terms. I do jest about that, but I feel as if there's a spell we might run into where we're not winning games and we're dropping points, and I wonder how they turn it round, because I'm not looking at that squad and thinking, "Oh, we're missing this, we're missing that." But probably the exception of Godfrey, I don't see, and Gray obviously, I don't see that impact coming on. And just to sort of finish off the sort of monologue I'm going on here, Matt, that Moyes Keane moment tonight, it's funny the way things happen. That goal that should have stood, that just brilliant finish he comes up with, where he lashes it into the top corner with his left foot. We haven't seen the replay, but a lot of people saying it's onside. Yeah. That goes in. He's not going to be in the mindset to be getting sent off in a game of football when a game's just gone on and on and on, and you know, he's his head's gone at that point. We're talking about somebody who's probably a lot more comfortable. They've got the monkey off their back, scoring a fantastic goal, probably gives him a shot in the arm, and he goes on, maybe scores another one, maybe has a decent performance. We're talking about a goal that was disallowed now. He got frustrated. There was loads of petulance there. Probably not a red card from what I've seen. I'd stress that I haven't seen all the replays yet. And now we're talking about a player that's probably played his last game for Everton. It just feels like, doesn't it, after that tonight, that it's just never going to happen for this lad. It just will never happen for Moyes Keane at Everton. What does that leave us with, though? I mean, look at the team we had when he went off.
Well, Tom Davies was playing up front, wasn't he, before he got brought off tonight.
Well, we had Davies and then Iwobi when he was taken off.
Gomez went up there for a bit.
Gomez did. Damari Gray was, I thought, would be the natural choice, but he was hugging the wing instead. I tell you what, if we're sending off away from Everton being left with Dominic Calvert-Lewin, I do have to ask the question, and I've been asking it for a long time, I think a lot of us have, where on earth is a second striker in this squad? Where is somebody who can deputise properly for Calvert-Lewin? Because you think of the accommodations Benitez has to make if Calvert-Lewin is not involved in that side. Everton go to pot.
Cheng Tosin is not far off getting fit again.
it potentially ends in one of those situations, doesn't it, where I can quite easily see a scenario where Keane leaves and none of us are really able to put our finger on where it ever went wrong. But if you think
it didn't go right, I think the way to put it, isn't it? Yeah.
If you think that the relationship between Moyes Keane and Everton ends positively, then you are forever kidding yourself. Yeah. And sometimes that is just how it is. He's not necessarily a bad footballer, but every time he gets onto the pitch, it just ends in some form of different level of disaster. And if it does mean he moves to somewhere like PSG or, quite frankly, anywhere else in the next 7 days, It is at that stage now where if Everton get any form of lucrative financial offer, he simply has to go. And I'm not laying into him for that individual moment tonight, because as Dave said, it looks an incredibly soft one on first glance, but it's just not going to happen with him. And as much as we all want to see that Moyes Keane that we got in the first half and that brilliant finish, I think the irony of the red card is that it actually came off the back of a piece of play that we've all been longing for Moyes Keane to put in. A 20 or 30 yard run back towards his own goal, shrugging off one of the attacking players and marching forward with the ball and playing it out wide and going to look like he's going to join in an attack. And it's just not there for him. And I think we're going to have a lot of those key decisions to make in the next 7 days. And Moyes Keane is not the only player who's going to get dragged into this in terms of, can our resources be put into better situations? We'll no doubt have this conversation about someone like Richarlison. We'll no doubt have this conversation about our centre-halves, who, as plentiful as they are, look a little bit out of the depth when they're actually called into a moment like they are tonight. And this is essentially where someone like Marcel Brands earns his coin, because it's not only about going out and sourcing people like Damari Gray and budget continental players who you think can improve this side, but it's making very important and critical decisions about the players that you let leave the club. And as much as we all wish that we had more offers on the table for some of these players, I think it's going to be a very, very interesting 7 days for Everton.
Yeah, just on the Keane thing, I think there are sometimes players who come to your club and it feels like the stars align against them completely and it's just not going to work for them. But I don't think that was that tonight. I think he's only got himself to blame. You know, we're not seeing the replay back, as you said, Dave, but, you know, good finish. He's offside. What happens in the second half, it's not as if, you know, it's been terribly unlucky for him or things have gone against him, you know, completely. He's done something really good. Everton are on the attack after just getting a goal disallowed for some reason. Again, we don't know why. I've not seen it. You know, you've done something really good. You've played it out wide. You've got a chance to get in the box and score a goal. And instead, what have you done? Someone's kicked at your heels and you've made a beeline for them to go and barge them. And you've done something stupid instead of trying to get into the box and help your team. That's not the stars aligning against Moyes Keane. That's not the universe saying, this isn't going to happen for you at Everton, lad. That's him making a poor decision and not helping his team in a positive way. And he's got himself into a bad situation and he's been sent off for it. It's stupid. It's brain dead. And I think the thing as well, you know, I put this on Twitter, he couldn't get off the pitch quick enough.
No. Yeah, well, you know, he jogged down the tunnel.
There's no real protest from him. And, you know, listen, obviously, you're not going to change the referee's mind. And, you know, players can get accused of being petulant in those situations. But there was no real sense of, I've been wronged here, you know, I want to stay on, and, you know, this is terrible, you know, I'm desperate to stay on and help my team. As soon as the red card was showed, he was pretty quickly off the pitch. But, you know, I'm sure more will come out about that in the final, well, in the next few days. Just before we finish, one player I did want to mention, Iwobi got on the score sheet tonight, Dave. Nice moment at the end, actually. He was just sort of going to trudge off with the rest of the players, but Benitez, I think, had a word with Coleman, who in turn got him in front of the fans on his own. He got a nice ovation, and for someone who's had a lot of grief over the summer and, you know, is still someone who needs to win people around, still got a lot to prove. But I think that was a nice little moment from the manager and the captain to sort of give him his ovation, because, you know, first three games of the season, he's got a goal tonight, he played well against Leeds, he made a difference when he came on against Southampton. He's had a quietly good start to the season, hasn't he?
I think he has, and I think there's a word of caution. I think for many people who almost instantly have written this lad off, they almost instantly had written him off when he come from Arsenal, lest we forget, because we missed out on Wilfred Zaha at the time, so went the narrative. And I think in general, to sort of put a blanket over his time at Everton so far, I would suggest that he's largely had that albatross around his neck. And I feel he still has. I feel as if he's never far away from somebody moaning about something that he's done, when by and large his performances so far this season have been more than adequate. In fact, I think I might get slated for this, but I'd say he's in the top two or three that we've seen so far this season. I think in terms of contribution, in terms of setting up chances, scoring goals, he took his goal really, really well, cool as you like. And all of this is pressure on him as well. You know, we don't often discuss the other side of this, but when he's written off as he is, there's a pressure for him to perform every time he gets a chance. And I'm really pleased that Benitez had the wherewithal and perception, perspective on his performance tonight, and basically unveiled him to the crowd towards the end.
Yeah.
Coleman he got a hold of as well.
Well, that says a lot about probably how he's told them he's feeling about things, hasn't it?
Yeah.
They don't do that unless, you know, he said, you know, fans are getting on me back and I'm feeling this a little bit.
Yeah, it's really good man management, I think. Because obviously it would indicate that behind the scenes this has been a topic of discussion, this has been something that they've gone through together about getting the best out of each other as human beings. And I feel as if he's never going to get that adoration from the fans, same as Benitez, really. Maybe they're arm in arm with that. Maybe that's a good thing for their relationship together. But he's making a telling contribution, and I think sorry to bang on about Moyes Keane again, but if you take these two guys as a bit of a case study, you look at someone who's applied themselves in the right way, somebody who's always willing to get the ball. Look, I've gone in on him as much as anybody else.
No, he never hides. You can never say that about
him. And that's exactly what I was going to say. He doesn't hide. He wants the ball. He wants to play. And you have to doff your cap to him doing that, because that must be difficult. Mm. We know how hard it is for players to win crowds over at our football club. We're notoriously shit for getting on the players' backs. We've been there in Goodison. Sometimes it's deserved, sometimes it's not, but it serves no benefit to do so. I will say that. And again, I've been there criticising him, and I think Benitez will see some real similarities between, you know, what he has to do to get any sort of satisfaction out of the fan base. And it was a really interesting moment, that, for me, and I hope it's something that continues, because it's pretty selfless from Benitez, really, isn't it? And I think the times I've seen him already, when he'd be fully entitled to go over and applaud the fans, in each of the games we've played so far this season, he'd be entitled to go over and applaud the fans and take a round of applause. Mm. He's not done that. He's done it in a really subtle way. People have gone over, excuse me, the usual characters who go over for the applause at the end of a game, go over to the fans where the touchline is.
Mm.
He does it, but he stays about 20, 30 yards away, and it's a quiet applause. And he's boxing clever, because quite clearly he knows if he goes and does that tonight and then we go and lose to Brighton, the upheaval when he doesn't go over and applaud the fans. He can't win in that situation. So I think he's shown a lot of intelligence with that, and I think it's probably the best way you can go about appeasing this fan base, who, let's face it, many are still really vigorously against his appointment. And I think we have to take this in context, Matt, as much as we banged on there about a really dodgy performance here, and that we were lucky we were playing a side like Huddersfield. They've gone and won 2 out of 3. Mm. They've got Brighton away, who are near top of the league themselves, haven't they? Having won 2 and 2. The only pressing matter that needs to be addressed, and I don't think it will be, is getting a couple of new faces in. Because we know we've had windows like this in the past. In fact, it takes me back to 2011 when Royston Drenthe and Dennis Strachwellese come in. I know they'll obviously raise certain smiles to people, yeah. But I remember Everton, certainly the peak when I was covering the club and going to the press conference every week, and you could feel the atmosphere around there. You could almost touch it when this club got a real boost. And that season in particular, we'd lost Mikel Arteta, everyone was down, and then we went and got those two lads who carried us to some sort of half-decent season. And it also happened as well when we got that Stephen Pienaar back, yeah. As well. You'd ride on the crest of a wave. If Everton can go and get one or two in, maybe even alone, somebody who's going to contribute to this 11, it'll make us all feel so much better than what the situation is right now, having only spent 1.5 million. If it doesn't happen, I think we're not able to generate any momentum from having 1.5 million net spend or whatever it is. So I think if you can go and sort something out this week, I'm looking to Brands to pull a rabbit out the hat, which has been elusive since he's been here, really. I think we'll be okay. But so far, I mean, how would you assess it? How would you assess Benitez so far in those three games?
And 7, 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I think he's done all right. Yeah. I think he's done okay.
It's an interesting dynamic that you mentioned, that every time he comes over to be at the away end tonight, yeah. or the Gladys Street at Goodison Park, that there is that level of angst and scrutiny on him to determine whether he's going to engage with the fans, or is there that sort of standoff nature between the relationship. And That is obviously something that is incredibly unhealthy over a great deal of time, but is at this stage, I would say, pretty understandable. Yeah. I think he probably gives off that aura of being a relatively withdrawn persona. He's never going to be a Jurgen Klopp fist pump into the cop style of manager, and I think we all appreciate that. But it's an interesting one with Alex Iwobi, because I think he's probably getting used to that transition of learning how to be a footballer who can have an impact tonight without being consistently involved in the build-up play. And I think coming from a side like Arsenal, who are very cute in possession, very in control of everything on the ball, I think he is debatably one of those players who would be far better off in terms of serving this side by having his impact in the last 25 or 30 yards of the pitch, as opposed to being on the ball consistently. He looks awkward and clumsy in possession. I think that's something that plays on Evertonians' mind when you watch him, because it's very hard to imagine him being pivotal in our build-up play when he looks that uncomfortable on the ball. Don't get me wrong, you put him in that sort of 10 to 20 yards out from goal, he's capable of finding corners and finishing chances, and I've seen plenty of Everton's attacking midfield players being totally incapable of that over recent years. But I think it was interesting to see that whole triangle, as you mentioned, Dave, between Iwobi, Benitez and Coleman at the end. Seamus Coleman more so, because I think tonight was probably one of those moments where I've seen plenty of senior figures at Everton, and yes, past captains down the years, either sit on their arse on the sideline when we're in a difficult moment, like we were at 1-1 tonight, or trudge off straight down the sideline, straight down the tunnel as soon as the full-time whistle goes at a relatively low-key game like that. Seamus Coleman never sat down for that entire second half.
He was a cheerleader, wasn't he?
Even at the point where Everton have made all of their substitutions, he was insistent that he was going to give as much advice to the back four as he could, as much advice to someone like John Joe Kenny, who I think needed it tonight, and generally to the team as well. And not only during the game, but going over, as you mentioned, at the end, grabbing key players, grabbing players who are low on confidence and showing that level of personality that we've spoken about in recent weeks, whereby when you separate the man from the footballer, like we have done with someone like Ben Godfrey, who just oozes that level of character and personality that it needs to succeed at the top level, yes, but also on nights like tonight, where you've got someone like Moyes Keane who spits his dummy out as soon as someone clips his heels, and yes, it was a harsh decision, but if you are one of Europe's premier young striking talents playing against a team called Huddersfield at a stadium that's named after a ship bitter, then I'm sorry, but you let your football do the talking. And as much as it's cruel on him tonight, the nature of the decision, I think it just screams the level of petulance and almost hostility that exists between him and the football club. It's not nice to finish on a negative like that, but I think what we've ultimately managed to do is just drag ourselves into the next round. And I think, as I said earlier, if you are willing to take the chance, like Benitez was tonight, to drag five of your players out of that starting 11 and out of the squad, then they're the types of games that you're just going to have to ride.
Yeah, we're going to drag ourselves home back down the M62 anyway. Going to be a late one tonight. Thankfully, it wasn't penalties. Otherwise, it would have been a really late one. But
always game with a missed.
I meant to say Huddersfield probably deserve penalties.
Well, let's not get out. Who cares about that? The 10-man toffees are through.
Awful fans as well, by the way. There we go. Not ours.
Dave, all due respect to Huddersfield, woeful fans. We'll leave it there. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again later this week, of course, to preview the Brighton game. Dave's promised he might try and get Glenn Murray on it for us, so we'll have to wait and see about that. Celebrities potentially on the weekend preview and all that. But no, your usual stuff coming this week. Cheers to the lads, and cheers to you for listening as well. We'll speak to you again soon here on the Blue Room.
Progressive presents, don't do it yourself.
Okay, simple enough, just gotta get in there with my screwdriver. Do you mind handing me my screwdriver?
Are you trying to say screwdriver?
Well, I mean, you're saying it weird, but yeah, sure.
Look, maybe we should bundle our home and auto with Progressive. We could save big and pay someone to install this for us so you don't have to pretend you can.
I know my way around a screwdriver. Oh yeah, this is gonna take a Philippe's head for sure.
Save when bundling home and auto with Progressive and use the money to, you know, not do it yourself. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Sports Social Podcast Network.